time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist, you'll want to invite everyone over. From book club to reality TV watch parties, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is infused with 2 times more essential oil versus regular Airwick Essential Mist for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is perfectly portable and effortlessly easy. The way fragrance should be. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now. In a city where time disappears, we create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big, we go all night, and here, everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Arash Markazi Show presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 in Southern California, the Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network. Old school crew today, it's me and G.A. Wiley, the original two. And not only that, G.A., we're in your home away from home, my home away from home, certainly, Las Vegas. This is your favorite time of the year. We're talking to you guys on a Friday, of course. GA, set the scene. You never miss it. March Madness in Vegas. What was Thursday like for you?
Insane. Insane. That's the only word I can describe what the books are down here. Insane. Currently staying at the Mirage, so it's you go down to that book, it was packed. Like, standing room only. Packed. You go around the bar, you go around to the boyfriend and I went to a circle bar area outside, like outside of the book, like on the other side of the book.
Yeah.
Still packed, standing room only. I felt so bad because I was like looking for him, so I was running around trying to, but insane. I mean, can we talk about how crazy some of these games have already been?
Oh my god. It's, yeah. Well, okay, so which one do you want to get into first? Because we had saw, and you hate to go on a college athlete like this, but one of the worst passes in sports history. I don't know, which game do you want to start with first? There was two huge upsets.
I feel like we should start with that first, that poor kid from Virginia.
And by the way, Virginia's second time, they're, you know, I don't know whether they
were out in the first round.
Yeah, but like top two seed is so rare. But okay, so where were you when that happened? Because the books went absolutely nuts. I mean, a lot of the clips of the, you know, fans just losing their minds. And at that point, again, if you had Furman, you had already won, because I don't know what the line was in that game. So those are the beautiful moments where you can just enjoy the result. The great thing about being in a sports book, and if you've not done it before, it is a different viewing experience, because a lot of the majority of people there are not really focused on the result. They're working. They're focused on the spread. That's one of those moments. You're just like, you won your bet if you bet on Furman, and so you're just enjoying it. Where were you for that game?
So I was at the Mirage. I was at this bar that was right next to the book, and watching the end of that game because we were about to go and grab something to eat. And my boyfriend actually had Furman to win.
He's awesome. I probably should have checked in on some of his some of his locks, but yeah, that's awesome. Okay.
Yeah, so he's taking a lot of parlays with underdogs in them. So at the current moment in time, that's kind of what we have right now. And I didn't want to go against some of my friends who went to Virginia, but
yeah,
I mean, talk about Choke City. I get it. They're in college and, you know, this isn't a pro league, but I mean, if COVID taught us anything, it's a pro league.
Oh,
yeah. Just, you know, you're not paying those professionals, so to speak, you know, obviously before NIL, but the reaction was insane. You could hear it from the book. Like, you can, where we were was maybe a little, like a less than a 30 second walk away from the book. You can hear the book erupting. Yeah. And Arash's right. When you go to Vegas or go to any book and watch a game there, because there's multiple games on, right? Yeah. Like, you're seeing everything. So people are, not everybody's watching the Virginia Furman game. Not everybody's watching, you know, other people are watching other things as they go on. But yeah, that game, you got to feel for Virginia and for those seniors too, right? I mean, like, cause for some of these guys, this is it. Well, you know, like, it, for exactly. Clark. Yeah, for Clark, this is it. You know, he's their point guard from California. Yeah. He you know, he's done. And I don't know if he can make it to the G League. Maybe go to Europe. Those odds are pretty slim. For some of these kids, this is all she wrote. You know,
by the way, when kids are trying to figure out if they want to go the G League route or want to go the college route, if they're going to be one and done, this is why you go the one and done route, because there's nothing like this time of year. So if you're a college student or if you're a prospective pro, right, and you have the, you know, Scoot Henderson, I would have loved to see him with a college team playing in these games. So like I get why they do that. You know, you're going to get paid, but there's nothing like this time of year. And I would say that you learn something playing in these pressure-packed situations. No knock on the G League, but they don't have anything remotely like this, where the entire country is focused on you. And if you make it to the Final Four, you're playing in front of 65,000 people, which you will never do in the NBA. So, all right, let's go to the other one, U of A. Now, listen, I did not see this one coming. I saw them win the Pac-12 championship. They had been upset previously as a number two seed. So crazy. By the way, GA, third year in a row, first time that's ever happened, a number two seed goes down. So now that's going to become a thing. You know how, you know, people say, like, what's the upset? I mean, for the third year in a row, this has happened. So you're going to have people trying to kind of figure out which 15 seed will beat the two. Your thoughts on U of A going down?
Shock. To be honest with you, and the only reason why I say that is because Arizona normally has some good pros, and Princeton has not been or participated in the last two March Madnesses, in the last two tournaments. They have pulled themselves out due to COVID.
Oh, that's right.
So
yeah,
they didn't have, like, from 2020 until now, they didn't have. Obviously, we didn't have a season, you know, in 2020, March of 2020. But even in 2021, 2022, they did not participate because of COVID. They pulled out their whole entire league. The Ivy League pulled out of participating in March Madness. So I'm in shock that, you know, that they were able to come from behind and win this game against Arizona. Then again, I don't want to knock on the Pac-12 because it's been a forever issue, and they're growing and they're trying. But you're never going to be like, I'm fearful for them, for, you know, UCLA and USC moving forward, going to the Big Ten. It's going to be a challenge, not only on the football front. And I know that that's the main reason why they left. They're leaving the Pac-12 to go there, but it's going to be challenging. And I'm wondering, is it going to dilute the product now for what will probably be known as the Pac-10?
It's going to be harder, and this is why we're going to bring in our good friend. We're going to go out to the Circus Sports Guest Hotline and join Nick Hamilton. Nick, you know, when USC and UCLA were going to go to the Big Ten, obviously the focus is on football. From a hoops perspective, that could change things as well. I guess, first of all, Nick, thanks for joining us. Your thoughts on the first day of the tournament?
It's been wild, to say the least. And I know that's been an understatement. There's so many. I mean, I know there's about a million plus one brackets that have already been busted. But I think, you know, it creates excitement. I mean, you never know what's going to transpire with these games. And I think that's the hype, and that's the enthusiasm that surrounds March Madness, because, you know, there's a lot of teams you think that are going to make it. There's some teams you don't think they have a chance in West Hill of making the tournament. And I think when you look at the overall factor, I think it just provides eyeballs and eardrums to one of the, you know, the great sporting events in American sports, which is the March Madness. To answer your other question, as far as what USC and UCLA moving forward, not just with football, but with basketball, I have to respectfully disagree with GPA, only because I think it's going to improve the product, and here's why. You know, pressure either busts pipes or it creates diamonds, right? And so I think that pressure is something that they may need, because sometimes you have a sense of complacency, and I think the Pac-12 has been a lava pit of complacency. I think there's been nothing challenging about the Pac-12, because you're used to going through the motions, you're used to going through the Pac-12 tournament every year. We know either UCLA or Arizona is going to win the Pac-12, you know, championship. There's been years where there have been some schools that we didn't think were going to win, have won that tournament and gone on to have higher seeding in the March Madness tournament. But overall, we've pretty much been able to guide who's going to be there and who's not, right? So I think when you go into a different conference where there's upper echelons of competition, I think it makes you step your game up, because, number one, you have a name to represent and you have prestige behind that name. And two, you have to also make sure that you're going to be competitive, because you have boosters, you have sponsors, and you have alumni that you have to adhere to. And so if they're not getting the wins, which means the wins don't, losses don't produce money. Wins produce dollars and opportunity. And they have to understand that they have to make sure they have to produce on the court or on the field, so they can maximize those dollars in order to be able to have heavy recruiting classes like we've seen in times before. And when you're in a heavier conference, now more eyeballs on you, which can be a good thing, because when it comes to recruiting, when it comes to opportunities, whether it be television opportunities, whether it be sponsorship opportunities or NIL deals, your kids have an opportunity to make some money, and your university will ultimately make money when it comes to these type of situations, as long as you keep adding up those W's on the court and on the field. So I think them moving to the Big Ten, I think they needed a challenge. I think they needed a kick in the behind to wake them up and say, okay, we got to step our game up if we're going to be able to compete with the Michigans or the Ohio States or the Penn States or Michigan States of the world. And it's a great thing for the Big Ten, because now the Big Ten gets into the second largest market to expand their conference. So I think it's a win-win across the board. I think teams have to understand what their focus is. They have to understand what their vision is and be able to execute it accordingly in order for them to be successful. And because if they start losing and sucking, ain't nobody going to care. They're going to be at the bottom of the barrel. They're going to be at the bottom of the birdcage. And USC and UCLA don't want that at all.
No. Nick, this is a question for you and a question for GE, because we were talking about this. If you're a top college recruit, if you're in high school and you're trying to figure out what you want to do, now with their ability to sign endorsement deals, how does that change things? And I'll give you one example. Mm-hmm. Bronny James, for example. If you were Bronny James, would you go to USC for 1 year? You're, you know, 2 miles down the street from where your dad plays, your dad will be courtside, or mm-hmm. You could go the G League route. They got a team in Henderson, about a couple miles from Las Vegas. LeBron's basically said that that's his goal, is to have a team here. If those are the two routes, what's your like advice? If you're part of the group, like advice, would you go the G League route or the college route?
Well, here's what I would do. If I'm Bronny James, first of all, I'm spending 2 years. I need to develop my game, but I ain't ready to come out after a year. We all know that. I believe Maximus has a better skill set than Bronny does. He just doesn't get the hype. But I think if I'm Bronny James, I would look at going to USC, only because here's the deal. Number one, you're in Los Angeles. You're not in, you know, backwoods Nevada. You're not in the outskirts, South Sacramento playing in the G League that nobody gives a damn about. You're playing in Los Angeles at the Galen Center night in and night out. You are Bronny James. You know LeBron's going to show up, so that's going to bring cameras and eyeballs and everything like that, and it's going to uplift your program. Plus, two, it's USC, the connection that Bronny James can make while he's at USC, because there's something about being a part of that USC family that gets you over the hump a lot of times more than not. It is, and I have to say this, it's the reason why O.J. Simpson is not in jail. because of USC. If OJ would have went to UCLA, he'd be behind bars to this day. But it's just something about being at USC as far as just the connection. I mean, look at Juju, the young lady that's going to sign with USC. Look at the hype surrounding her. And look how much more her I would say, endorsement, her prestige, her visible presence is going to be, you know, playing women's college basketball. We know women's college basketball is very, very popular. People really tune into that. Especially when you see, you know, young ladies like Aaliyah Boston and others that have really, really made names for themselves. So when you look at Bronny James being at USC and being connected to USC, all jokes aside, I think it would be a very, very wise investment and decision for him to go to USC to and also understand the college life, too, to be able to be a kid, you know, to be able to you know, soak in the intangibles that kids have to go through when they go to college, you know, their first and second year, and really be able to experience that and make connections. Because we all know Bronny James is going to do something great, whether it's on the basketball court or away from it. So why not have that backing of USC, one of the most prestigious universities in the country, to be able to showcase your basketball talent? And you're in Los Angeles. Your daddy still played for the Lakers, even though he's hobbling. Your daddy's still playing for the Lakers. So you're right down the street from your father. You know, so I think it can benefit him. Plus the NIL deals that he's going to get. We know Nike is going to give him an NIL deal. You know, there's other, you know, and USC, from my understanding, if you, Arash, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but aren't they a Nike school as well?
Yeah.
So that doesn't conflict. And I'm sure he'll get some other endorsement deals, maybe Subway, maybe, you know, some type of deal like that. So I would say go to USC, man. Get the eyeballs and eardrums on you while you're in the second largest market. Screw the G League.
Yeah, here's the thing. I don't disagree with what Nick is saying. He's going to get endorsement deals regardless. In case we just forgot, his last name is James. Like, he's going to get those endorsement deals regardless of whether he goes to the G League or whether he goes to SC, Oregon, Ohio State. Those are, like, just the few that are recruiting him at this current moment in time. I think it behooves, I'm going to sound so old now, but I think it does behoove him to be a normal kid. Right, to go to an environment where, like, maybe he won't get treated like he's LeBron James's child, right? Like, he'll actually get, like, an experience.
I think that's going to happen regardless, though, right? I mean, I think if you're Michael Jordan's son, if you're LeBron James, like, that's just your life, and I think he knows that at this point.
Yeah,
no, definitely.
No,
I agree with you. It's always going to be like that. I mean, look at what he steps on the court in high school and they chant overrated. Like, he's always going to, you know, he's always going to have that. And I totally understand that. But I'm talking about, like, just the team aspect, the team mentality of him going in that locker room and still just being with his boys and being just like that kind of mentality, well, right?
No, you're right. No, I was going to say, I have to say this too. I think you get more eyeballs at USC than you get any G League team.
I would agree with that.
He's going to get more endorsements. I'm not saying that you're wrong when you say he's going to get endorsements regardless, because he's Bronny James, you're right. But to get more, you're going to get more exposure. Mm-hmm. You're going to get more endorsements by being in the second largest market. No different if he went to Ohio State, because we know LeBron is from Ohio. So LeBron always reps Ohio State. So they would love his dirty draws in Ohio State. but at the same time, if he's not at a major school like Ohio State or USC, being in Los Angeles, you're going to get more endorsement. And that's what you want to capitalize on, the endorsement factor. Nothing else besides hopefully getting an education and balling out for your team.
Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things where he would have a stage at USC. I mean, people watch those games. Again, to your point, Nick, no one follows the G League. It's just, you know, he would get paid, but now that he can get endorsement deals at USC, that changes things. Nick, we have our last few minutes with you. Listen, the Lakers have improved. They are a different team since the trade deadline. That being said, Nick, they put themselves in this hole, right? And so they have to find a way to, like, work themselves out of it. Two-part question. A, do you think that they can do that? And B, Nick, when we're in the last 12, 13 games of the season, what the heck is Anthony Davis doing sitting out? I mean, like, every game is so important. So can they do that, and what's up with AD?
In the words of my established buddy from New York, that's your man's man. I don't know what Mr. Bubble Wrap is going to be able to do. This is a guy that,
oh, Nick, you have muted yourself. Okay, there you go.
This is a guy that obviously, when he's good, he's absolutely astonishing on the court. But when he's bad and sitting out, I mean, he can have a loose toenail and he's going to sit out for a couple games. I mean, it's just not mentally strong. And I don't want to say he's weak because I would not cast that type of characterization on him. But it's not appearing that he's mentally strong, if you get my drift. It's not appearing that in a position of leadership. When you're in a position of leadership, like we've seen him play through injury before. In that 2020 season when they won the chip, he was playing through injury even in the bubble because he had ankle issues. He had all kind of issues during that bubble stretch. And that was probably one of the toughest stretches he probably ever encountered in his career. And he played through it like a champ. And we all said, okay, Anthony Davis can play through injury. He can be mentally strong and determined to do what he needs to do to make an impact on the court. But we have not seen that since he got that big fat contract. We have not seen that level of consistency since the championship year. And that's the problem I think a lot of Laker fans have, man. It's just, where's the consistency? Where is the mental toughness? Where is the leadership? This is a guy that you want to pay all this money to and surround with. What is it? What are the intangibles? We don't see that from Giannis. We don't see that from Joel Embiid. We don't see that from Mr. Doughboy in Denver.
Jokic. By the way,
built like a bread box.
Things have turned around with Jokic. I mean, there is like an online campaign again. I am at this point. I thought he was a lock, and I don't think he's winning the MVP. His defense is some of the worst defense.
Now, you, Brandon,
Brandon loves Jokic.
Y'all tried to jump me in the parking lot about that. And I said, what about Giannis?
Don't loop me in that. Don't loop me in that. Do not loop me in that group.
In the parking lot for that.
Do not loop me in that group, Nick. Don't loop me in that group. Stop.
Yeah. I said, you know, you're guilty by association, so I got to.
Yeah, right.
But I'm saying, like I said before, I think Giannis or Joel Embiid is the true MVP.
I would agree that will service. Joel Embiid, but it is so funny that, like, during that debate, there was, you know, it seemed like he was kind of a lock, and then, like, there's just been this campaign, and again, he's not a great defender, he's not a good defender. If the Nuggets don't get to the finals, it'll probably be because of his defense, but Nick, as usual, you were the first one on it, you're probably right, it'll be Joel Embiid likely winning Most Valuable Player. My friend, thanks so much for joining us, we'll catch up again next week. Let's leave it there for now. When we come back, Hall of Famer, it's Andy Bernstein. He's going to join us when we come back right here on the Mightier 1090 in Southern California, The Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network.
We'll be right back with the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now. In a city where time disappears, we create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big, we go all night, and here, everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Welcome back to the Arash Markazi Show, presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 in Southern California, The Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network. It is Friday. That can only mean one thing. It's Legends of Sport Friday. It is Andy Bernstein. Hey, Andy, how are you?
I am good, Arash. Good to see you as always, my friend. Good to be speaking to you.
There's so many reasons that I love your podcast, but sometimes I learn about a legendary figure that I didn't really know a ton about before. That's the case this week. Megan Duggan, tell me a little bit about her.
Well, Megan Duggan, one of the great female hockey players, really, of all time. I didn't know a lot about her, but when I learned about her and we did a lot of research about her for the podcast, man, she has a resume that could go up against anybody, quite frankly. was a standout player at the University of Wisconsin, joined the U.S. Olympic team, won three medals there, one being a gold medal, was the captain of the team, wow. Played professionally in the Women's Professional League, very, very involved in many issues across the board, impacting sports and society, women's sports, pay equity. Most profoundly now, she is working with the New Jersey Devils as a director of player development. And it's so wonderful to see women in the NHL. NHL has sort of lagged behind a little bit in involving women in the front office, and she's helping to lead the way with that.
Yeah, it's really incredible. Like when I looked at what she's done, I mean, I think that part of it, looking at what she did in her career, but currently helping out or player development for the New Jersey Devils, incredible. So Andy, we talk about this every week, but I think the workshop that you're going to do is next mm-hmm. level, because I think there's a lot of great workshops that are on YouTube or that are not really, there's no connection. Tell people about the workshop that you have planned.
Yeah, thanks, Rosh. I love talking about the workshop. We're putting a lot of work into launching this 12-part workshop. It's called Beyond the Lens. People can find it now. There's actually a website set up for it, beyondthelens.live, or you can find it on my personal website, ADB Photo Inc. or our Instagram. But essentially the workshop is a live interactive workshop between myself and whoever signs up for it. Makes it a little bit different than your general master class, which are wonderful, but those are prepackaged. You don't get to interact with the host. You don't get to ask questions or be part of, let's say, an audience. So going to be talking a lot about life experience, work experience, what helped me who helped me along the way, what influenced me, how I stayed relevant 40 plus years in this business. A lot of wisdom from the Mamba himself through working with him for 20 years, but especially on the Mamba Mentality book. And how to bring all that into your life, your work life, your personal life. You don't have to be a photographer. We're going to be talking to people across the board in all professions. Not really going to get into the nuts and bolts of, f-stop, shutter speeds, things like that. But that'll be part of the conversation of how some iconic photos were created. And again, it's beyondthelens.live. So we're hoping to get this thing off the ground in June and running a really great special right now if you sign up. So hopefully we'll get some people signing up ASAP.
I love it. And you guys have to check out the website just to look at the pictures and read about it. I mean, it's really amazing. It's kind of like, I'm on the site right now, you with Jordan and his gold medal after the 1992 Olympic Games, Kobe, Jonathan Quick sprawled out with the Los Angeles Kings, just some great pictures. And finally, before we get to this week's episode again, Andy, we'll only play just a snippet. If folks want to hear the entire conversation, how can they do that?
Well, our podcast, Legends of Sport, can be found on our home base, which is iHeart, but of course, every podcast platform, including Apple and Spotify. Please go to our website, which is legendsofsport.net, because not only will you get a link to this week's podcast, but you'll be able to see all the content that we have on there. And our Instagram is at legendsofsport, and my photography can be found at ADB Photo Inc. On Instagram. So lots of places to find the Legends of Sport podcast.
Love it. Now, with that said, without any further ado, this week's episode of Legends of Sport Friday, it is Megan Duggan.
Well, I want to welcome Megan Duggan to the Legends of Sport podcast, a true legend of women's hockey. Megan, so great to connect with you. Thanks so much for making the time today.
Yeah, my pleasure. No, it's an honor to be asked to join you. So I'm looking forward to the discussion.
Well, I appreciate it. Listen, I have to preface all of this because you've probably, if you did your research about me, I'm known for basketball, right? I've been in the NBA 40 plus years, but my passion is hockey. All right. I mean, I say that to all my hockey guests, and it's true. I grew up a ridiculous Rangers fan in Brooklyn.
Great.
I know you grew up outside of Boston, so tell me something. Were you a Bruins fan growing up?
Yeah. Yeah. Tough to say now working for New Jersey Devils,
right,
but No, certainly no secret. I grew up north of Boston in Danvers, Mass. Uh-huh. And really grew up big, you know, Boston sports fan, yeah, all across the board. You know, Bruins, Red Sox, Patriots, Celtics, the whole thing. And my family still, you know, big Boston sports fans. They all cheer for the teams I've, you know, played with or been a part of or now work for. So I've turned them into Devils fans as well. But big Boston sports family.
Yeah. Well, my backstory, just so you know, is that a Brooklyn kid, I end up going to UMass Amherst, right? Okay. So you know how insane, like, you know, the sports fans are in the Boston area. I wouldn't have had any friends if I hadn't become some kind of a Boston fan. And I adopted the Red Sox and the Patriots. I didn't have an NFL team. And my team was the Mets, so I didn't have an American League team, you know. God forbid I was a Yankee fan, you know. But my best friend and I, to this day, this is 45 years later, we still argue over the Rangers and Bruins from back in the 70s. It's crazy. Anyway,
yeah,
I digress.
It's all good though. Sports rivalries and you know, sometimes they get a little carried away, right? When you see some of the bad stuff that goes on when it comes to fans and sports rivalries. But honestly, when you think about just the excitement that sports bring into people's lives, and, you know, getting that excited about something and the people that it brings together, it's awesome to be a part of. So I welcome all the sports rivalries.
Yeah,
certainly was a part of a lot of them in my career, and it's fun to talk about.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you're deep into one now in New York with the three teams there. How did it start for you? I mean, you know, I've talked to many iconic women in sports, even going back to, you know, Manon Riome and Nancy Lieberman and Ann Myers Drysdale, and, you know, they had to play with the boys. They, you know, was that the same for you? Because there really wasn't women's or girls hockey for you growing up, right?
Yeah, similar story. So I was born in 87, north of Boston, like I said, up in Danvers, Mass, and really started playing hockey in the early 90s. I had an older brother who played, and a lot of, you know, friends and family friends that all played. And really, you know, Danvers was a strong hockey community, a great youth program. And so wanted to be like my older brother, jumped out on skates kind of in the Learn to Skate program when I was 3 years old, and just fell in love with it. So I stayed, as the only girl, you know, I knew or saw or heard about in my community, playing on all boys teams all growing up until until I was high school age. And I ended up going on to Cushing Academy and playing in my, you know, girls hockey there and on to college. But yeah, growing up, played with all the boys and everything. You know, I played baseball, I played played soccer, I played on a boys team and a girls team, but hockey was it was boys team. I played on my local Danvers team, and then I played on a, you know, select team out of Charlestown, Mass. Same thing, only girls. So, but it was all that I knew, right? And and I had the support of, you know, my team, my parents, all the other parents, and I was part of a really great youth hockey program that welcomed me, and it wasn't an issue. It was just, you know, what I did.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
I wasn't really exposed to girls and women playing hockey, as I said, until high school, and certainly not elite, you know, girls and women playing hockey really until the 98 Olympics, and I had an opportunity to see women compete on that stage.
Yeah, amazing. When I was at UMass, this is 75 to 78, UMass didn't even have a men's hockey team. It was like a club team that played at Amherst College in a non-heated rink. And we used to go over there just because we had a couple of friends who played, you know, but there was no women's hockey whatsoever.
Right.
And it's amazing, you know, and looking at your career, I mean, when you went to Wisconsin, I mean, you're going to a huge hockey powerhouse for men's hockey, of course. But how big was hockey then when you were in Wisconsin?
It was huge, actually. Yeah. When I went to Wisconsin, you know, the women's team there was coming off of a national championship when I went into my freshman year, and we actually won my freshman year as well. So the program was back to back, which was pretty special to be a part of. But that team was at the pinnacle of women's college hockey at the time, you know, led by at the time and still now Mark Johnson, you know, who really needs no introduction in the hockey world, and was just littered with players, you know, national team potential players on that team. A lot of girls I played in the Olympics with, and you know, women that have gone on to play different pro levels and, you know, work at NHL teams. And so it was a real hockey hotbed. And that was something I was excited about being a part of. You know, I wanted to go to a program that was big time, Big Ten, you know, like college athletics, and learn from a lot of the elite players and elite staff and coaching that was there. And it was a great fit for me.
Yeah, fantastic. I mean, what a great career you had. Mark Johnson, of course, speaks for himself. and the support for the team from the student body was probably amazing, right? I would think.
It was. And that was, again, that was something I really was eager to be a part of. Yeah. You know, we would pack our rink. Even now, I think at the LeBron Arena, which is the women's rink now, we played in the Kohl Center, which we shared with the men. But now the women have their own rink and they sell out every game. And it's one of the most, you know, highly attended college women's college hockey teams in the country. I don't know the exact data, but it has to be. And I've heard it has. So great community support, great student body support. And we were treated like pros, you know. I was an 18-year-old kid, and you know, I was really lucky to be a part of a university like that. And it was my first experience of, wow, this is big time, you know, chartered planes and brand new equipment, and the support and resources, and the way they take care of their athletes. It was you know, it was special. And on the women's side, you know, we have our challenges with being treated like professionals, right, at times. And you know, you hear about all the struggles that women's pro hockey has gone through. So that was, you know, to be in college and to have that star treatment was really special. And I know it's only continued there. So great program. And, you know, I'm really, obviously, as you can tell, proud to be a Badger and have played for that team and, you know, be a part of that group.
Now, when you were at Wisconsin, you were playing against, the rivalry was with Minnesota, right? And Michigan.
Big rivalry.
Right. Yeah. So you were playing against the Lamoureux sisters, right? Who became your teammates later on.
Yeah.
And, you know, their book, incredibly eloquent, how they describe exactly what you talked about, being in an elite college program and then going to the national team and taking like major steps backwards. I mean, like, like, are we really playing under these conditions? And we're not funded. We're, you know, we're third class citizens to the men across the board in any sport, but in your sport especially, right? So, you know, they spoke about it, but I'd love to get your viewpoint on that. If that was a shocking realization once you got to USA Hockey.
Yeah. And it's, you know, my experience, yes, their book's fantastic. I have it right here on the bookshelf behind me.
Yeah.
You know, two of my just near and dear friends, teammates, you know, women that I just respect and admire to the nth degree. And so happy that they were able to tell their story through their book. And, you know, I was so happy that our careers, you know, ran concurrently with each other because we really had some amazing experiences. And yeah, I played against them their freshman year. They played at the University of Minnesota. Then they actually transferred to North Dakota. Right, so same conference, played against them there as well. And yeah, we had some really, really good battles on the ice, certainly. But together on the national team, you know, we were part of, as they talk about in their book, we were part of a group that really worked to lead our program forward in terms of what you were just talking about, you know, the treatment, the support, you know, both, you know, financially, but just general support of what it takes to be an athlete, you know, insurance, travel, you know, athlete care, right? How we take care of the athletes, the ice times, the all these different things. And so we were part of a group, Jocelyn, Monique, myself, variety of other, you know, leadership on our team. To make some of those changes and to kind of bang on USA Hockey. And obviously we, you know, got into a pretty public debate with them back there in 2017 ahead of boycotting the World Championships. But it was something that needed to happen. You know, we had started having conversations on bus trips and around dinner tables about inequities that we were seeing. And myself and you know, the other leadership group that I mentioned, we'd been around long enough and we knew enough to know that we had to do something in order to change it, not just for us, but, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20 years down the road. Like someone had to, you know, step up and help make these changes. And certainly, you know, much longer story of everything that went into it, and a lot of which Jocelyn and Monique get into in their book. But it was, you know, something that Probably one of the most proud moments in my career, of us being able to make those changes and then, you know, go on to win a couple gold medals after that and really cement kind of our worth at that point, too.
It was risky, of course, but, you know, you had a righteous cause and you guys succeeded. And then, you know, less than what, 5 years later or so, you're then on the board of USA Hockey. I mean, you know, my good friend Phil Jackson would call that a full circle life event.
Yeah.
I mean, do you pinch yourself like, wow, this was amazing? Like, we were battling with them for everything that we fought for. You know, we succeeded. And now I'm on the other side of the table, basically, you know, making sure that that's, you know, pass forward from my generation to the next.
Yeah. And you know what? My mission in my existence to be continually involved in USA Hockey is to really just continually bring that perspective from the women's side, you know, and what that team needs to compete and to be elite and to continue to bring success back to the program. And I've really, you know, since I was 18, 19 years old and I made my first national team, I've given my whole life to USA Hockey, you know, everything. When I think about the hours put in and what I would do for that program when I was on the team. And so, you know, staying involved, keeping close relationships there, participating in that capacity is certainly important to me and something that, you know, makes a lot of sense, really, for how passionate I am about hockey in the United States.
Yeah, to me, you know, just thinking about your bio and doing a lot of research and learning about you, and like the one word really that comes to mind for me, there's two words. One is relentless, which reminds me of my good friend Kobe, and that was one of the founding pillars of the Mamba mentality was relentlessness. You know, it's never giving up, right? But also busy. I mean, like, you're like so busy. The stuff I mean, we have pages of stuff that you are still doing. I mean, how do you find time for all of this? How do you balance it all?
Yeah, good question. Honestly, sometimes I don't know. I am a mom of two young kids too, and that's probably the you know, the most important aspect of my life, being with them, and, you know, obviously raising kids, and you know, to go out in this world and to do great things. But I'm just a passionate person. You know, I've always probably spread myself a little bit too thin, but I enjoy, you know, giving and being involved, staying up on things, asking questions, you know, adding value wherever I can, and so. I am, you know, careful and particular about what I engage in and what I'm involved with, because, as you said, you know, I don't want anything else that I'm involved with to fall under because I am busy, right? And I value, you know, my family and my job and my work with the foundation and my work with the NHL Player Inclusion Committee. And and so I think it's just my passion drives me. I love being around people too, right? Yeah. I love building new relationships and so it's, I keep myself busy, but, it's all good. And, you know, I still do, find time to set boundaries and to, make sure that I'm taking time for myself and my family as well, because I've learned being involved in so many things that that's the best way to recharge and be able to give my full self to everything that I'm a part of.
Yeah, for sure. Like I have four kids, three of them are daughters, and you know, I was raising kids when I was my crazy job too.
And, wild.
You know, I know how it goes. And then, you know, in your spare time, you found time to train and run in the 2022 New York City Marathon.
I
think I have to add that in there. I don't know how you did that. Can we talk about
sometimes? It's funny to hear someone say that.
Yeah.
All right, that's all the time we have for today. Another amazing episode of Legends of Sport Friday with Andy Bernstein. But as you know, it is March Madness, so hopefully your guys' bracket's not totally busted going into the weekend. I hope you guys enjoy your March Madness. I know GA and I will out here in Las Vegas as we make our way around all the sports books around here. Circa and Sahara and South Point, and yes, we're making our way down. But folks, I hope you have an amazing weekend. Thanks for joining us. Until next week, stay safe, be healthy. This is Arash Markazi. I'll talk to you guys next week.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Hustle for the cash, so it's hard to knock it. Everybody got their own thing, currency chasing. Worldwide through the hard times, worrying faces. Shed tears as we bury brothers close to heart. What was a friend now?
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, Essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Hey friends, want to grow your business faster and stronger? Wondering how to find and keep top talent? It starts with your culture. Insperity, a leading HR provider, can help your business create a culture that drives growth. Download their free ebook, The Future of Business is Culture, at Insperity.com. With the right people, processes, and values in place, your company can realize its full potential. Visit Insperity.com to see how Insperity provides HR that makes a difference.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity, set up chores, and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.